Welcome. This is experimental UMass Center for Clinical and Translational Science podcast for the External Advisory Committee meeting of 2017. We always really enjoy getting together with our friends and colleagues from other academic medical centers and the community around the country. Getting peer review is really important to helping us improve and reality check the things that we're doing. I think it's especially important this year as we get ready for our renewal, which is planning, which we plan to submit in May of 2018. So it's a very critical year for us, and we really are looking forward to getting your feedback and insight into our programs. I think there's lots of good progress that we've made over the past year, and so we're looking forward to this meeting in the first week of October. So, you know, why are we here? So I'm Nate Hafer. I'm here with Sally Gore, our CCTS evaluator. You'll hear from both of us. And, you know, one of the pieces of feedback we got from last year's meeting was to have not only the written materials provided in advance, but also experiment with other media as well, such as a podcast. So we took that to heart. Sally is very astute with all things media. And so here we are. Hopefully this will be useful for you. That you can listen to on the plane or wherever you are traveling to or from the meeting. So we're looking forward to having you visit us here the first week of October. The format will be very much like in years past, especially like last year, where we have everybody in for the dinner the night before. The Chancellor is not available to join us this year, so we're going to be eating at a new restaurant, Sonoma, which is an outstanding restaurant, just moved into the Beechwood Hotel. So that'll be a nice opportunity to get together and talk on Monday night. And then Tuesday, we have an all-day meeting. The format's very similar to last year, where Catherine will start off the day with a general overview about our progress and goals going forward. And then we'll move into two breakout sessions. In the first session, we'll have our informatics as one section, then our community engagement, integration of special populations as a second session, and the optional module focused on building and advancing our product pipeline as the third session in that first breakout session. Then we'll have a little coffee break and come in for the second session, where we have three parallel sessions, one focused on the clinical research infrastructure and supports and things related to multi-site trials and BIRD and the RICS and TICS. The second piece will be BIRD, and the third one will be focused on education, where our T, our K, and our Work First Development programs. Then we'll break for lunch. We'll get everybody back together in the same room, and then we'll have the executive session and feedback for Catherine and leadership, and then we'll get you on our way. Want to focus on some high-level things just before we get going into the sections themselves. I think a few things that maybe don't get talked about a lot in either the report and the response or in the slides, a couple things that are exciting that are happening. One is that we've had good luck with several different UO1, the Collaborative Innovation Awards, through the CTSAs and the administrative supplement mechanism. The UO1s, one is with Stephanie Lemon and Jerome Allison as the leads. The acronym for the project is called STRIDE, which is really all about recruiting diverse populations into clinical research and using some of the innovative techniques that have been developed initially in the as a pilot for our CTSA several years ago now, which was incorporated into the Integrating Special Populations group, and now is being further refined and expanded into this UO1 mechanism. That's with Vanderbilt and UAB as collaborating sites. And then Stephanie is also involved with another UO1 application that was recently funded, focused on breast cancer screening, and that's in collaboration with the other Massachusetts CTSAs, BU, Harvard, and Tufts. But we also have an administrative supplement that was funded over the course of the spring and summer, where I'm the project lead for our site, and we're working with eight other CTSAs on developing an I-Corps curriculum for biomedical entrepreneurs. Now, I-Corps, if you haven't heard about that program, originally started in the NSF and was designed to help people translate their discoveries into commercial products. The NSF wasn't pleased with the rates that their SBIR awardees and similar types of award mechanisms were getting commercial products out into the public and domain. And so they worked with Steve Blank and other people out in California to develop a curriculum really focused on customer discovery and figuring out what's the problem, what do people really need, and then building a product focused on that. Over time, it's been adapted to many other different fields because the core curriculum and methodology is really agnostic at the end of the day. So NIH has gotten interested in this, and we're now working with some of the I-Corps instructors at the national level to tailor this curriculum. And so that's an exciting project that's going to be developed over the next year or so. And I, this spring, piloted a short version of the short course, and we're going to take what we learned this spring and with our colleagues at the other eight sites, develop this course, test it, and then disseminate it out to the network of CTSAs in general. Another thing that's worth talking about that we've mentioned, I think, in years past is our Massachusetts Medical Device Development Center, or M2D2, as it's lovingly referred to. This is our collaboration between the medical school and colleagues at UMass Lowell. It's been around for about 10 years now, and it provides a physical incubator and services expertise for people who are starting medical device companies or that was the original intent. Over the years, we've brought in and expanded our capacity to do biotech startups as well. Originally, there was one space in Lowell where there was dedicated lab space, private lab space, as well as office space. We've outgrown that space, opened a second incubator down the street in Lowell a couple years ago, which is more of a shared lab, open lab concept where people rent a lab bench and then have access to shared equipment and technology. That has been going really well. In addition to the physical space, we provide education services, both for our students as an opportunity for hands-on experiential learning with these companies, but also for the companies themselves, we have a roster of sponsors, both in the biotech and medical device space, such as Johnson & Johnson, Smith & Nephew, Becton Dickinson, Boston Scientific, and the like. But we also have service providers like law firms, regulatory firms, prototyping, manufacturing firms that can really provide their expertise either one-on-one, hands-on, or they have seminars and workshops that help these companies really realize the types of things they need to do for their medical device or biotech innovation. One of the things that we've been doing the last 6 months or so is been working on getting the M2D2 footprint established here in Worcester. And so Margaret Kozel and I are the two point people here in the Worcester campus that provide the clinical and the scientific expertise to the leadership team. And then our colleagues in Lowell, the leadership team is made up of people from the engineering and business school arenas. The dean very generously gave us some space for lab and office space here in the medical school. We're getting that space renovated and ready to go. The equipment has just been ordered, so we've got some of that coming in. The lab has been painted and is getting ready to go. We've had great interest from people in the community. I think I've shown it to half a dozen people at this point. And so I think this will be a great new offering for startups and people in that biotech entrepreneurial arena so that they can be embedded in the medical school environment itself and have close access to the faculty, the students, all the cores and all the other resources that we have here, as well as take advantage of all the resources that are up in Lowell as well. So that's a very exciting thing that's been happening over the last 6 months to a year. One other thing that I think you'll hear about over the course of the day is our K and T programs. And we've been really, really happy with how this has really provided an environment for our junior scholars and early stage faculty to get up and running with their programs. And we're seeing a very virtuous cycle getting started, where some of our earlier CAPEs are now moving on into leadership roles in the university and are training some of our T fellows and trainees. And so let me tell you a little bit about that. I think last year we spent a lot of time talking about Dave McManus, who's one of our superstar cardiologists, who was a K awardee several years ago and is now doing great things, working with industry, getting his own independent NIH funding, and is a real rising star in the field of cardiology. This year, I wanted to say a couple things about Nancy Byatt, who was another one of our K awardees in 2013. And her project was focused on rapid access to perinatal psychiatric care in depression, understanding that postpartum depression is a real problem with a lot of mothers, and oftentimes the care is not properly delivered one way or the other. The OB, the GYN, is very busy with the baby and the mother. They know that they should be screening for these things, but how they access the psychiatrist and how that whole process worked was a real problem 4 or 5 years ago. And Nancy's project was focused on trying to figure out a system to be able to get on-call access to psychiatric help and so forth. So she got her K and things got started and was the founding medical director in pretty short order of what's called MCPAP for Moms, so the Massachusetts Child Psychiatry Access Program for Moms. Things got started and were going well, and in 2015, she applied for and received a U01 from the CDC, the only one in the nation that was awarded, to further develop this program called RAPID, an innovative stepped care approach for obstetrics and gynecology clinics. So things were going really well. We were very excited about this. And word of this continued to spread. Nancy met a local U.S. member of Congress, Catherine Clark, who represents the 5th District here in Massachusetts, talking about this program. And through her advocacy and awareness raising with Representative Clark, the 21st Century Cures Bill, which was passed last year, appropriated $5 million for 5 states to further develop a program similar to this MCPAP for moms to roll that out in other states. And I know that Nancy and other members of our team are serving as consultants in other states as this program rolls out, and just other funding agencies. I know Nancy has been down to testify and meet with other members of Congress and also inform other federal agencies such as AHRQ and things like that about how this program can actually be implemented and rolled out across the country. So I think Nancy, you know, is a very positive trajectory, and she's really starting to change the way that that we handle the care for postpartum depression, and the way that changing the paradigm, which is really exciting. Another exciting thing that's happening in the educational space is Nancy Byatt and Dave McManus, who are one of our early K awardees, they now are moving into a leadership role in our, what we call our K Club. So it's our opportunity for people who have Ks to mentor and guide people who are looking to get K awards, either institutional Ks through the CTSA, for instance, or their individual K awards. This program, which was started several years ago by faculty in the Department of Medicine and the Department of Psychiatry, has been wonderful. The success rate for people who join the program and stick it out has been over 80% in getting their own awards. And we've seen people participate across the campus here at the medical school, and we've seen junior faculty from the other UMass campuses come to this program and join. And they come on their own time. A lot of times they'll drive here themselves from Boston or Lowell or Amherst because they see the value of the program. They see that the success rates and so forth. So Dave and Nancy, as of this fall, are taking over leadership of this program, and I think it's one excellent example of the virtuous cycle where we've gotten through CTSA funding some K's scholars off the ground, and they're off and running in a very successful way, and they're giving back and training the next generation of our K. I think exactly the type of cycle that we'd like to see. I think this is what NIH likes to see, and I think we're really excited about that. I wanted to mention our pilot awardees as well. We have several different pilot award programs that we sponsor through the CTSA, either from institutional funds or from our grant funds. Over the years, we've seen great ROI for these relatively modest investments, five times or more for the different programs. And, you know, these things also lead to publications and all the things that you would expect to see out of a pilot programs. And so just to remind you, we have several of our flagship programs are our PPP, which is just our pilot project program. We have our Life Science Moment Fund program, which is for faculty here at Worcester campus to collaborate with a faculty from at least one other UMass campus. We've started an IND enabling pilot program called our Launch Program, which is focused on having people work on getting studies done that really help move a project forward so they get a little bit closer to being an IND-ready type of project, whether that means hiring a regulatory consultant or laying out some of the next preclinical studies that need to be done to move a project forward. I mentioned M2D2 earlier. I think one of the things that we're doing there with the Worcester site rollout is to, in order to get people excited and get them into the new incubator space, we're having a competition where we had clinical faculty here at the medical school propose clinical problems that they see every day in the hospital. And then we took those clinical problems and turned them over to the engineers and technology-based people at UMass Lowell and said, do you have a technology or a possible solution for these for these clinical problems? And we received five different projects that we've matched up, and now we have these teams going forward, and they're going to have a pitch event in a couple months focused on what they've come up together, and we're going to have it judged and have some small pilot funds available for them to continue to do work on their projects, and hopefully they'll take up residence in the incubator, and we'll see where the projects go from there. So I think that's a new pilot that's off and running. We have some other small pilots, you know, really just designed to get things kickstarted when somebody just needs $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000. I think probably like a lot of you, we get hit up for different requests all the time on an ad hoc basis. And to try to be as fair as possible for all these different types of requests, we've created mechanisms on a peer review type basis to receive and review and award these kinds of things. So in the 1,000 to 2,000 level, we have small conference grants where we have provided just a little bit of money to maybe get people together, have a brainstorming session, identify a problem, what kind of funding opportunities are out there. Let's get a team together and let's start to work on this collaboratively. We've given out a couple of these awards over the year, and I think we've seen very nice ROI where these teams that have gotten established have been very successful in going out and getting large R01 or similar types of awards. This year, thanks to our friends at Vanderbilt, we created a new program called our Spark Pilots. So these are $5,000 to $10,000, and they're really designed to get access to cores or services that are offered here through the CTSA. So for instance, we have, you know, many of the cores that are offered, like our Clinical Research Center, our biostatistics through the quantitative methods core, and things like that, informatics as well. And so people have come to us and say, hey, I'm working on a project. I really could use some help establishing a new stem cell line or whatever it may be. And so we've given out one or two of these awards in the $5,000 to $10,000 range as this type of a voucher program. And so I think that's starting to get some momentum as well, and we look forward to seeing what becomes of that. I think it's a great way to raise awareness for our cores, and we also find a way to fund those because we don't want to do work that's not supported financially one way or another. Let me mention some of the success stories from our pilots. Several years ago, we funded an investigator here, Jack Leonard, who has a very interesting molecule that has anti-cancer properties. And he, after we awarded this pilot, was very successful in getting foundation and small R01 type funding from NIH and different foundations. And the work has progressed over the last few years, and now in the last few months has resulted in the formation of a new company. And so Jack is working with an entrepreneur here in the area about getting the program off the ground and doing some studies to further the IND enabling package that'll be going forward. And the team is taking a look at the M2D2 space here that we've established in Worcester. And I think this is exactly the type of thing where a faculty member who has an idea and is looking to spin it out, but wants to separate their lab work from their NewCo type of work, can come to this M2D2 incubator and do what they need to do. So that's a great spin out and example of working across multiple pieces of the CTSA to move a project forward. Another success is Beth McCormick, faculty member who received pilot funding from us several years ago, and she as well has recently started a company with some entrepreneurs in the area. So another example of seeding something in the CTSA, incubating it with different services over the past few years, and now we're starting to see real things go forward. Another one of our pilots from Chris Cassetti, which was with collaboration with Mass Biologics, has resulted in some large foundation funding as the project has moved forward. And Wenjun Li, who's one of our more preventative behavioral health investigators who uses geospatial information to look at areas of where nutrition or the built environment is better or worse for communities, was just awarded an R56 award through the NIH. So just a few examples of how pilot funding has led to exciting new things in the past 6 months or so.